Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips, strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
You're listening to the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about parent reports. Hey, beautiful teachers, it's that time of year again for me. I'm writing some student progress reports at the moment, which are for parents in my studio. And I thought I'd take you along on the journey so you can see what it's like to write these parent progress reports and how you might implement them in your studio. So first off, just a little bit about what it is we do here. I've tried different iterations of this over the years, but we're pretty settled in our format these days, and it works very well for us. We do progress reports, I actually call them progress updates in my studio, 3 times a year. That's what we found to be a good rhythm for us. However, I will say, if you're just starting this, just try one. Don't promise 3, because you might be surprised at how much effort this takes, especially if you have quite a lot of students, even a standard amount of students. It is quite a lot of writing to get through. However, I found it to be very beneficial in our studio. So we do these 3 times a year. We do them like a couple of months into lessons in the year, and then at the midway point, and then at the end of the year. Roughly, that's the pattern. Not quite fully at the end of the year. It's like a few weeks before the end, because some families will start disappearing and going away on summer holidays early before the school year actually ends. So we get those out a few weeks before we officially finish up. Now, the point of these progress reports for me is to keep parents in the loop, not just with how their child is doing in lessons or what they're doing in lessons, but also to let them know they can relax around us, that we have a plan, that we're tracking all of these things, that they don't have to micromanage or manage on any level their child's musical progress. We are doing that. We want them to be involved, and we'll give them advice in these reports, but it's also there to give them a little bit of a breath of fresh air that they can say, this part is sorted. This teacher is on the ball. My child is getting exactly what they need from lessons, and someone is looking out for them. Someone has their best interest at heart. So let me show you the basic format of these progress updates in our studio. I have this template set up so that you can take a look, or I can talk you through what it is that we're doing. So this is for a fictitious student that I've called Sally Starfish, and I'm just giving you the overall format of how these parent reports go. So I have a table here with 6 different lines, 6 different categories. It says oral, practice, reading, technical, technique, and theory. Okay, now if Sally Starfish was on the younger end of things or had just started, we would often actually delete this technical row. So technical and technique could be confusing for some people. What I mean is, technical is where I comment on scales, arpeggios, chords, all this standard stuff that we need to learn. And technique is their physical technique, how they're playing the piano. And those are very different things, and I don't want them mixed up together. However, beginner students, most beginner students with us, don't do scales or arpeggios or stuff like that in the beginning. And so I wouldn't have the technical row for them. I would just delete that one. But let's pretend Sally is 8 years old and she's been in lessons with us for 2 years. Okay, so I would keep that. And that is where I would write about scales and arpeggios and any updates, like we're working towards this particular scale challenge and here's how it's going kind of thing. Or Sally's doing great in all other areas, but she doesn't seem to practice her scales. So it would be great to get your support on that, right? So this is all directed towards the parent. In the oral category, I will write about any singing and listening activities that they're doing and how those are going, how they're tracking, whether they can match pitch, whether they are comfortable with solfa, whether they participate well in those activities, or whether they need to focus a little bit more on developing their ear. So I comment directed towards parents in things they can do here, but also about things we're planning. So if we find that a student is struggling with their ear training, we would write here briefly how we're looking to address that. always keeping it in language that a parent can understand if they didn't study music themselves. So I'm not writing any jargon here. I'm not going into too much detail unless I know that parent is very good at music, knows what I'm talking about, perhaps even is a former music teacher or current music teacher. We have some of those in our studio. So then I will use language appropriate for them, but I write it with the audience in mind. So practice category explains itself. Maybe this often will end up being the most full because it's the area where parents can really help. So we might comment here about whether we feel that they're practicing enough. We might comment about the quality of their practice. We might say something if they're not logging into Vivid. We would mention that here. If they're not following practice directions, or on the contrary, if they do, if they're always prepared and they follow all the directions, we would praise them for that here too. It's not just about pointing out the negatives, and we try to keep a really positive slant to these updates overall. So if there's several areas that need to be addressed, especially from the parents' perspective, we would try and prioritize the ones that are most important and emphasize those and not emphasize too much the other ones while still providing that information. Reading is about how their reading progress is going, whether they're reading at their level, whether they're struggling in that area at all. Technique, then we're commenting on their posture, their hand shape, if they're a little bit further along, how they're doing with different articulation, stuff like that. And then theory, we're commenting on how they do in theory games, how their knowledge is developing of terms and symbols and all of the theory stuff, depending on their level. And also we might put a comment in here about their theory workbook, their actual written work, but it's all of that together. So if they tend not to do their written homework, we would mention that here and encourage them to do it every week. If they always do it and they're doing great with it, if they need to watch the videos while they're doing it because they tend to misunderstand the questions, I mean, different things like that. And then underneath all of that, so you've got oral practice, reading, technical, maybe, if appropriate to the student, technique and theory. And then the last thing we have here is top three goals for this semester. And I try to keep those very specific. To me, a goal is something that you can say yes or no to. Was it achieved? Was it not achieved? So I don't write get better at reading, because who can measure that? That's not a measurable goal. So I do try to make it specific, like for a beginner, it might be reach X chapter in their method book, or finish the 60-second note name challenge, or learn this many new scales, or memorize three pieces that they can play for family, right? It has to be something quantifiable for me for it to be a goal. So that's what our progress updates basically entail. There's six different categories, maybe only five, and then three goals. And we try to write maybe a few sentences in each category, but it's not always a lot or a little. It does vary. It depends how much we have to say about that student. We don't write over extensive verbose notes. We just write a few things that we think are relevant in that area. Something about what we're planning in that area, something about how they're doing so far, and maybe something about how the parent can help in that area if that's relevant, right? So we keep it very simple. That doesn't mean it doesn't take time. It does. You have to be thoughtful to do these things. And depending on the number of students, it can take a while to get through this, but it does get easier with time. Now, I want to address the elephant in the room here, because there may be some of you yelling at the screen right now. And that is, parents won't read them. Okay, I hear you. Some parents won't read them. This is a fact. It is true. Some parents will never open that email where you send it, or, you know, whatever way you send it to them, even if it's a written piece of communication, whatever it is, they may never look at it. That's true. But some parents will. And to me, it is worth it for the parents that do. And I will still send it to everyone, even if there's a parent in my studio who I suspect has never opened one of these. I'm still going to send it because that's part of being fair and equal to every student. To me, it doesn't bother me. I don't get frustrated like, oh, I'm putting in all this work and some of the parents aren't going to read it. Or like in a particular case, like I know Susie's parent isn't going to read this. She never reads any emails. She's useless. I don't actually talk like that, but let's say I felt like that. To me, It is enough to know that this is useful for me. So the process of writing these progress updates makes me, 3 times a year, reliably take a step back and look at the overall picture of how that student is doing. So even if 100% of parents did not read them, even if it was only a small percentage, and it's not, it is quite a lot of the parents in my studio that read these, but even if it wasn't, it would still be worth it for me to write these because it makes me look at that student with a different lens. Let me know whether you do progress updates or reports or anything like this in your studio. I would love to hear about your experience, whether you get frustrated with parents for not reading them, or whether it doesn't bother you, or whether maybe all of the parents in your studio read them reliably. Maybe your format is a little bit different. Do share your experience with this in the comments. If you ever get overwhelmed by all the different teacher training options out there, vibrant music teaching is the place for you. We nickname our members flamingos because they're masters of balancing all of the things and making it all work in a way that isn't overwhelming. We have tools to help you do that inside vibrant music teaching. So go to vmt.ninja and sign up today.